This morning, pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to how you think. As you think, the proverb says, so you are. Paul is speaking to them as their father in the faith. And he asked them, make my joy complete. In the previous paragraph, Paul had encouraged them to stand in one spirit, with one mind, striving for the work of the gospel, to be calm in the face of opposition. Now, let me tell you, the opposition we face in America today is nothing compared to what Paul in the church in Philippi saw. And we are to be calm and be encouraged in this. In chapter 2, he says, if there is, at least that's the way the New American Standard writes it, and really it would be better if it was since there is, have the same outlook, since there is encouragement in Christ. Step back and think about that for a minute. I was thinking just the other day, one of the conversations that I had with my dad when I was 13 or 14, 15 years old, somewhere in that stretch of life. And I remember he came into my bedroom and I've never had a poker face. I wish I did at times, but I've never had a poker face. You can always see what I'm thinking or whatever it is on my mind because it's on my face. And he said, how you doing? And I don't remember what I said to him. And he said, yeah, I understand. Sometimes, and the word he used was, sometimes you just get blue. You understand what I mean by that? You just get down. Paul said, man, there is encouragement in Christ. There is encouragement in Christ. There is encouragement that your life matters. There is encouragement that what your work matters. If there is, since there is encouragement in Christ. He says, have this same outlook and let your intellect control your will and let that affect your emotions, which then controls your attitude. You know, we sometimes try to figure out how to control our emotions without first controlling our thoughts. And if you've ever struggled with forgiveness of someone in your life, I would suggest to you that you make the decision to forgive and then let your emotions catch up. And that's what Paul is saying here. If there is any encouragement, since there is, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, the Holy Spirit lives within us as a follower of Christ, I am not alone. And neither are you. He is with us. He is for us. He is not against us. Oh, there may be things in our lives, the choices that we make, that he's against. But it's only because he knows what's best for us. And he says, since there is, remember these things. He says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So are we as a church of the same mind? That the most important thing that we can do is to glorify Christ. That the most important thing that we can do is proclaim the name of Jesus. Are we together on that? Then he says in verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. We're to do that. We're to develop this better attitude. We need to pay attention to how we think. Chuck Swindoll told the story one time and he said that he is convinced that life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. Don't become like the guy who wrote into Dear Abby one time. And this is what the guy said. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. Now apply the 1090 idea to your family, your friends, and this church. 10% is what happens to us, and 90% is how we respond to it. Responding to things comes from how you think. Paul said, there is encouragement in Christ. There is fellowship in the Spirit. We are not alone. He is with us. He is for us. And we are to continue to be intent on the one purpose of seeing God's kingdom grow. Not everything that happens in terms of kingdom growth is going to happen within these four walls. And that's okay. That's why we're in the schools. That's why we're in the apartment complexes. That's why we go to a crazy place like Vermont or a crazier place like Honduras. Because we see that these four walls are not the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God we take out of here with us when we go out, because God is in control of our lives. And he says we are to be encouraged. We are to be intent on this purpose. If you choose to be like the guy writing to Dear Abby, always wishing something were different, you're going to have a miserable life. But there is encouragement in Christ. Think for a moment. Think for a moment how God has blessed you. Something this morning made me think, and I don't even remember now what it was exactly. Where'd she go? My wife may have gone back to the nursery. Have you ever thought to yourself, how did I get her to marry me? And she stayed with it. I can't believe that. Maybe it's like Mrs. Graham was asked one time, did you ever consider divorcing Billy Graham? She said, no, but there was a time or two of murder. Yeah, I get that. I get that from this side. There is encouragement in Christ. We are to change the way we look at things. Think for a moment how God has blessed you. Continue in the love of Christ in your life. Be encouraged by what Christ has done and is doing in your life and in this church. And let this time of worship be a time when you think about what he has done for us. Have you ever been stranded somewhere? No, I don't mean a little bit stranded. I mean really stranded. He came after you. He came after you. That's what Jesus Christ taking on the form of man is all about. He came after us. He came to redeem us, to redeem you from the bondage of sin. So think rightly about yourself, avoiding the empty deceit that you are always right or that things have to be just the way you want them. Pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to yourself so that you follow the example of Christ. We are to imitate Jesus. In an attitude of humility, Jesus did not hold on to what was rightfully his. He let go of the form. He let go of the glorious, perfect form of God. He was spirit and truth, eternal, equal with God the Father. He is and was holy and righteous and glorious. He is equal with the Father. But Jesus' attitude was, I will let go of that. and take on the form of man. Dealing with all the temptations and trials and all the stuff that you and I deal with every day. He dealt with that stuff. And then Paul says that he was willing to submit himself to the cross. One of my first seminary classes, the professor said, Paul probably would have done that in a whisper. Because to die on a cross was the most horrible, degrading death. And he was willing to do that for you. He was willing to do that for you. He was willing to come after us. He was willing to obey to the point of death. He set that kind of an example. Now we're to follow it. If you have ever had a key made or made a key, you know how the operation works. The original is placed on one side, the blank is put on the other. And there's a guide that you come down and you trace the path of the key, and on the other side there's a cutting wheel that cuts it into the blank. And that's how we are to be. We are to be just like Christ. He is the original, you are the blank. His example, we are to follow his example. We are to let go of our lives. Too oftentimes we have this preconceived notion of this is how things are supposed to be. Let me tell you, there's not a whole lot about my life that has gone the way I thought it would when I was 15, 18 years old. I didn't even know where Franklin, North Carolina was. But God is good because he has a plan. We are to follow his example. What might you need to let go of to more closely follow the example of Christ? As we worship the one who let go of his rightful place to come to us. We worship the one through whom his death paid the penalty that we owe. We worship the one who redeemed us from sin and eternal death. We worship the one who gives freedom, real freedom. And we worship the one who gives new life. We need to pay attention to ourselves. Pay attention to yourself. Follow the example of Christ and proclaim the name of Jesus. Make your life more about him than about you. God the Father began this proclamation of Jesus in ages past by exalting Jesus to the highest place, that every person who has ever lived will proclaim Jesus as Lord is not hoped for, it is here guaranteed. Now, the calamity of it, or the tragicness of it is that some will gladly do it, others will begrudgingly do it. Some will do it in freedom, some will do it in bondage. Some will do it because they understand the freedom, the fact that he is Lord is so good, so great, so what we are made for, others will have to be forced into it. But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It is guaranteed. He gave Jesus a name that is above every name. Lord, he is called, and we should call him Lord as well. The purpose of God the Father's exalting of Jesus is so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Over the years, as we come into a time of communion, a time of taking the Lord's Supper together, I locked in 1 Corinthians 11 in my brain as the passage to go to as we share in the Lord's Supper together. In that passage, Paul had to talk pretty straight to them. They had made the coming together to proclaim the life and death of Christ in communion more about them than about Jesus. Communion, the Lord's Supper, is about Jesus, his taking on the form of man. The first part of it is the piece of bread. He says, "This bread is my body." Then it's the blood. "This blood, my blood, is the new covenant." And so we look at this and we think about it. What he did is more than we sometimes can understand or fathom. And so Jesus is also to be our object or focus of worship no matter what. Too oftentimes it seems like we take worship or the idea of worship and we bargain with it. "Well, God, if you'll do what I want." Oh, please do not elevate yourself to his level. You don't understand. You don't have the vision. You don't have the understanding. Why did things happen in my life? Well, because I wasn't smart enough or sensitive to his spirit's leading to obey, so the Lord just kind of had to make me. But you know what? It was worth it. It was worth it. He is the one, he is the object or focus of worship. Jesus is to be the subject or focus of our lives, our proclamation as a church. The way you live, the way you interact with others, go about your daily life. It's to bring glory to Christ. Every hour of every day. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul reminds us not to eat the bread or drink the cup in an unworthy manner. And that would be with known unconfessed sin arising from unrepentant hearts. Are you paying attention to yourself today? Are you following the example of Christ? Are you proclaiming the name of Jesus? Will we continue as a church to do these very things?